Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was tempted by the devil. In the beginning, the devil tempted Adam. While he was still living in paradise, he tempted him to defy God by eating the forbidden fruit. We all know that. What we may forget is that it should have been easy for Adam to have resisted temptation. After all, in the Garden of Paradise, Adam was well fed. All of the trees, except for that one, were available, and they had abundant, luscious fruit. And so Adam had everything going for him. He had no reason to disobey, and yet we know Adam was quickly defeated. Adam bought into Satan's lies, and he ate. And the Bible says that through this one man's disobedience, we also, like Adam, have become disobedient sinners. The awful result is that in Adam we all die. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But in the very midst of this tragic defeat, God would make a bright promise on that day. God promised that a child would come from Eve who would crush the serpent's head and free us from his power. A child would be born of the woman who would also be the Lord. This child would reverse the curse and save the world. And of course, we know this child is none other than Jesus Christ. But until then, Adam and Eve were driven out of paradise. So Genesis 3, which is our Old Testament reading, was round one between the devil and mankind. And we can see that mankind was thoroughly defeated on that day. In the gospel reading, what we are seeing really is round two of this ancient fight for the soul of mankind. By the way, that's why those two readings are paired together for today. The devil had been clearly victorious against the first representative man, which was Adam. But now, as Luther says in his battle hymn, A Mighty Fortress, a new champion stepped out onto the battlefield to fight as an army of one, as a new representative of all mankind. This time, the devil would go up against Jesus, the second representative man, and they would battle it out in the wilderness. But I want you to notice that unlike Adam, Jesus had absolutely nothing going for him when he entered into this temptation. Adam had plenty to eat. Jesus was hungry and thirsty after fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. And even though Jesus is starving with going without food for so long, the devil cannot get Jesus to budge from his obedience to God. Jesus remains reliant on God's word, so that the devil tries to have Jesus selfishly make bread for himself by getting Jesus to doubt God's loving provision and care. The devil says, Jesus, if God is really your Father, why are you starving in the wilderness? You had really better start thinking about yourself. Why don't you make yourself some bread, since it doesn't look like your Father's going to do it for you? But Jesus wasn't fooled. He resisted the temptation by relying on God's word and responded back to the devil using these words: Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay, so the devil tries again. This time, attempting to get Jesus to test God's love. The devil quotes Psalm 91, and by the way, the devil can quote the Bible and knows it far better than you or I. This time, the devil would take Jesus to the very pinnacle of the temple and try to get Jesus to jump from there, to free fall from a great height. The devil says, "Let's have your father prove his love by sending his angels to protect you from your fall." But again, Jesus, realizing that the devil has misunderstood and distorted that text that he was quoting from Scripture, would cause Jesus to quote the Bible back to him, declaring, "Yes, but you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then we all know there's a third time. The devil tries to trick Jesus and tempt him into sin. This time, the devil offers him the entire world. He says, "You can have the entire world, Jesus. Everything you see, anything you want, money, power, fame, you name it. If you will only ally yourself with me, deny your father and bow down to me." Perhaps the devil was offering Jesus the whole world without having to die for it on the cross. Perhaps he was giving Jesus an easy way out. Instead of trusting your father who is leading you into undeserved pain and suffering and crucifixion, trust me. I can give you the world without your having to go to all that trouble to suffer and die for it. I'll give you the glory without the cross. I'll give you instant gratification if you will only worship me. But Jesus basically tells the devil to buzz off. "Be gone, Satan, for it stands written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." At this, the devil would leave Jesus. And so, what we see happening is Jesus wins this round, round two, for all mankind. But you knew there would be a round three. The Bible says the devil left Jesus waiting for a more opportune time. That more opportune time was while Jesus was nailed to a cross. And in the midst of Jesus' hellish suffering and his bloody agony, as he was dying for your sins and for mine, the devil, who, by the way, is relentless, tries to tempt Jesus once again. The devil tries to get Jesus to question the whole plan of God to redeem the world so as to demoralize Jesus so that he would come down from that cross and be unable to save the world. But he knew that he must not speak these words himself. So this time the devil spoke through the voice of those people in the crowd before Pontius Pilate and on the cross. And the devil says, "Jesus, you say that you can save others, but you don't even seem to be able to save yourself. I thought you were the king of Israel. Then come down from the cross and we will believe you." If God really cared about you, wouldn't he deliver you? Since you say you are the Son of God, after all. But through it all, Jesus would remain faithful to his Father and to the plan of the cross. Jesus would entrust himself to the Father, saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then Jesus would die faithfully as your substitute, perfectly obeying the Father's will so that he would die for our sins and for the sins of the entire world. And so round three goes to Jesus. And it's a knockout. It is a KO. For although the serpent had put the nail through his heel, bruising Jesus, just as we read in Genesis 3, Jesus had on that day crushed the serpent's head. Call the fight. It's over. It is finished. In this rematch, in this contest of wills, Jesus restored for us what Adam lost. Now the good news, because Jesus has won, the devil has lost his power over you. His power to accuse you of sin, because you know your sins are forgiven in Jesus. The power to frighten you with thoughts of death, because in Jesus you know you have eternal life. This is because thanks to Jesus, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The not so good news, however, is the devil is mortally wounded, not quite dead yet. He is in the throes of death. He is like a wounded animal. He is vicious, he is angry, and he has been backed against the wall. And until Christ returns, the devil is more dangerous than ever in these last days before his full and final destruction. And the devil would like nothing more than destroy the relationship that the baptized have to God based upon Christ. He would like nothing more than to tempt you into sin, to get you to begin to question God's love for you, to deny Christ, and ultimately to fall away, so that you might suffer along with him. If you encounter the devil, don't be cocky. He is armed and dangerous, and we men do not have the best record against wrestling the devil using our own strength. Frankly, on our own, we are far more likely to be disobedient like Adam than obedient like Christ. I think this is what is behind the words of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches his disciples in the Lord's Prayer, just two chapters later, saying, "Pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We are confessing to God that we cannot face the devil on our own, for he is far, far too strong for us. We need Jesus, this army of one, to deliver us from evil and put evil, the evil one, in his place. My brothers and sisters, without Jesus, you and I will always lose to the devil. We will succumb to his temptations. We will choose the selfish way, and we will continually question God's goodness unless we cling to Christ and pray that he would deliver us from evil. For armed with Christ's word of the cross, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are promised to be kept safe from the devil. As James says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." But truly, there is only one from whom the devil flees, and it certainly isn't you or me. He is not in the least bit scared of us. It is Jesus he fears. For death, devil, and hell, Christ has vanquished his foes. And when the devil sees Jesus coming, he puts his little bifurcated tail between his legs and he runs away like a scared puppy. Know that Christ has given you the victory over the devil. Be of good courage. Repent of your sins. Strive for obedience, pray for deliverance, intercede for others, and most of all, trust that God's promise has been fulfilled. For if Jesus is for you, and he is for you, then nothing, not even the devil, can stand against you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and guide your hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen.